Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. This is May 21st, 2024, and today we are starting to change the way we look at Gemini and maybe specifically Jupiter. But of course, on today's show, we've got to talk about Gemini. So in fact, happy birthday to all you sparkling personalities out there who were born under the sign of the twins. And I say that because you really are the sparklers in terms of, you know, the zodiac. And you're not a fire sign, you're an air sign. But that's, I call you the meeters and the greeters, because you're the people who can talk to anybody about anything. And I think of you as like, you know, when you have a party, that's a person you have at the door. You say, hey, will you greet everybody as they come in? Will you show them where the drinks are and where the food is and that kind of thing? As a host or hostess, you always need those people at your side and doing that thing. And those are the twins. That is the Gemini connection, that very social, intellectual, talkative, chatty, interesting kind of energy that is Gemini. And of course, we're going to be talking about this for a long time. And the reason is because there are a number of planets moving into Gemini. So we're going into Gemini season. That's what I like to call it. And it really is spectacular this week, because this is one of those weeks astrologically when, you know, I'm sure as an astrologer, you say, oh, well, she always thinks it's spectacular. And yes, I guess I do, because I love astrology. But some weeks just seem to stand out above the rest. And this one really does, because we have the sun having moved into Gemini yesterday, which was Monday, the 20th of May. Then Venus is going to move into Gemini on Thursday, early in the morning. And then we have Jupiter changing signs and moving into Gemini on Saturday. And that's what we're mostly going to focus on today. And the reason is because Jupiter stays in a sign for a year, on average, like about 12 months. So that's an annual thing that happens, is Jupiter moves. And so it's one of those planets that when it moves, we pay attention. Because when we talk about Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Pluto, Uranus, see, they don't move very often. And of course, Jupiter moves a lot more often than Pluto does. But still, it's background. It's something that's going on that maybe on an everyday basis, it's not right in your face, but it's an ongoing thing that over the course of a year, your life can change quite a bit as you kind of dig into that energy. And of course, Jupiter is a planet of benefit, of luck, of blessings and abundance. It's an opportunity. In fact, that's one of the words that's really big with Jupiter, is opportunity, possibilities. So, you know, this show is way too short to really talk about any of these things in complete depth and detail, but I want to touch base on all of those, but specifically about just the Gemini energy and Jupiter in particular. But you know what we also have this week is we have the full moon in Sagittarius, and that's going to happen on Thursday as well. And that's particularly important because Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Now, Jupiter will not have moved into Gemini yet, but it's a full moon in Sagittarius, ruled by Jupiter, which is also the opposite sign of Gemini. So see, that's the kind of thing in astrology I love, how it just kind of keeps coming round and round, and you see the trends, you see the connections, and it's just, it's a lot of fun to start kind of just untying all those knots, or rather seeing where each of those pieces are going to lead you. And that's the other thing that I really hope that I can instill in everybody that listens to this or studies astrology or is alive, is that, you know what, we're not going to miss our destiny. And sometimes when I'm studying something, I'll think, oh, why didn't I stumble across this before? Well, maybe I didn't need to see that particular thing before. So you know what? Just believe that in every single moment, every single day, whether you consider it stumbling or purposeful, we're going to run across exactly what we need, and or we can use everything that comes to us. Whatever it is, we can use it for our purpose. So as we look at this Jupiter in Gemini, some of the things that I will be repeating, you know, throughout the year is, when's it going to be there? Well, it's going to be there May 25th, which is starting this Saturday, and it's going to be there through June 9th, 2025. So that's the time frame that we're talking about. Now, during that time, of course, it's going to retrograde. And I want to give you that information as well, because for those of you who are really into it, or maybe you are that Gemini sun, or you have a Venus, or you have Jupiter, you have an important planet sitting in Gemini, you're going to want to know those retrograde dates. Now, of course, Jupiter is one of those planets that it retrogrades for, on average, about 4 months a year. Which means that, you know, in any particular Jupiter transit, for those months, a quarter of the time, it's going to be retrograde, which means we're going to go even deeper with the energy, or we're going to look at the energy from a different perspective. So here again, if you know your particular natal chart and you know you've got some planets sitting there in Gemini, what's going to happen is when Jupiter retrogrades October 9th, through February 4th, it's going to actually get all the way to 21 Gemini, which, by the way, is approximately, if you were born around the 12th of the month, then your sun is probably sitting somewhere around 21 Gemini, I think. And then it's going to retrograde back to 11. So if you're in that period of 21 to 11, or see it as 11 to 21, all those middle degrees of Gemini are the ones that are going to be activated three times when Jupiter goes retrograde, because it's going to go over it, then it's going to back over those degrees, and then it's going to go forward again. So there again, maybe you do a little planning and really think about, you know, that. But on the other hand, remember, I say don't obsess about this. It's so much fun to get into the details, but you don't need to obsess or put it on your calendar and say, oh, I'm not going to go on vacation, or this can't happen because blah, blah, blah. Don't go there. All right. Just be aware of it, because that's going to probably be, for many Gemini suns, a really fabulous period of time when they go really deep with something, when they really look at something from a different perspective. Now, we're not going to talk about it so much today, but also as we look at this particular cycle, two of the things that stand out to me is that with Jupiter in an air sign in Gemini, it's going to trine, which means make a very, very supportive connection to Pluto, the transformer, which is sitting in Aquarius. And in fact, on the day that Jupiter moves, I mean, literally, Pluto is sitting right there, I think at one, maybe two, but I think 1 degree of Aquarius. To me, that's a very big indication of what we can expect from this cycle. The Gemini and the moves that we make, the expansion that we make, sort of the directions we pick up and go in, they're going to be transformative because they're going to be totally supported by Pluto. Then the other one that I find interesting is that we've got Saturn. That planet of manifestation is sitting over in Pisces. Well, what's going to happen is that Jupiter is going to square Saturn, I think, three times during this cycle. And that's important because that might be the times, and like I said, we're not going to get into dates and all that today, but those are going to be the times when maybe we're building something, we're pushing something forward, and we find that that square to Saturn feels like a roadblock. But the roadblock, I think, is going to be in terms of things like Saturn in Pisces, I believe, is saying, what is the purpose here? You know, what are the underpinnings? What is the metaphysical reason that you're doing this? What is the spiritual reason that you're doing this? So Saturn may actually, those squares may impede something that Jupiter's doing, but only on the level of saying, hey, wait a minute, have you gotten too superficial? Have you gotten too distracted? Have you gone too far away from your purpose? Because maybe we need to dial this back. Maybe you're doing something and you've kind of lost sight of what the real goal is. So I think that's going to be a very wonderful kind of wake-up call when Jupiter squares Saturn. And there again, we'll talk about it when we get, you know, when we get to those particular energies, I'll give you those dates. But there again, just looking forward and saying, okay, what is this cycle going to look like? Now, another thing that sometimes people like to look at is, when was it last in Gemini? Well, Jupiter was last in Gemini from June 11th, 2012 through June 25th, 2013. So there again, if you're one of those people, and maybe you keep a journal, maybe you keep a diary, or maybe those dates just stand out for some reason. What were you doing during that time? Or what did you want to do during that time? Because I know Carolyn Casey, as an astrologer, she suggests that whatever was going on during the last Gemini cycle in the sign is something, maybe something came to you that you really wanted to do, but you recognized you weren't ready to do it, or maybe you didn't have the experience to do it. And so now, 12 years later, you have the experience. And you look back on that thing and maybe you say, oh, I recognize how I don't really want that anymore. Or you say, you know what? I am a person. I've gathered 12 years of experience. And now I am going to launch this. I am going to move in this direction. I'm going to do something that I've wanted to do for a long time, for 12 years at least. So that's another way that you can look at any Gemini, or not Gemini, but Jupiter cycle, is 12 years ago. What was happening for you? So it's just something you might want to do. And, you know, I also find sometimes that I get these aha moments because I may not particularly be thinking of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, just it can just be simple. I'm just, you know, walking the dog or doing something that in some ways is mindless. And all of a sudden it'll come to me and I go, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. You know, that project, that idea, that's something that I thought was important. So once again, you're not going to miss your destiny. You don't need to be frantic about any of this energy. Just allow the things to come up to you. And kind of along those lines, I ran across a quote this past week. And it's no accident that I ran across it because, of course, I was researching and looking out, you know, I was searching for people who were born with Jupiter in Gemini. And here again, you know, Gemini, you know, it's in Gemini every 12 years. So it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's a huge portion of the population, but it's not rare either. But as an astrologer, I'm looking, okay, who are some of the people that we can look to? You know, who are some of the people maybe we want to look at their lives or what were they doing? So Charles Dickens is one of the first people that kind of struck me as I was looking at my list, you know, going through my database of people that were born with Jupiter in Gemini. And so I came across this quote, and like I said, it's not by accident because I was looking for people that had that particular energy. But one thing I did notice is that he was born with Jupiter moving retrograde. Now, I'm mentioning that, and as I just said, you know, Jupiter's retrograde about a quarter of its time. But the reason it was interesting is because as I kept looking up more and more people in my database that have, you know, Jupiter and Gemini, a lot of the people, and remember too, even though my database actually includes a number of people that were included with the actual software package, many, many, many of the charts that I have in my database, I put there. You know, like, you know, I do a lot of famous people, entertainers, that kind of thing. So they're people that they stick out in my mind for one reason or another. In other words, I'm attracted to them for a particular reason or for a particular purpose. Maybe they're in the news or maybe they've done something outstanding or whatever. They're people that I want in my database, so I put them there. Well, what I noticed is I kept calling up these names and going, oh, she has it, she has it, he has it. I noticed a number of them had Jupiter moving retrograde. So I'm not going to say much about that right at this moment, but it occurs to me that those people probably have something very similar in common that, like I say, for whatever reason, I was attracted to. So I'm going to start really looking at those people and thinking about how did they use Jupiter retrograde in their lives. So, you know, I'm only just throwing that out there because it also may have a little to do with when I looked at this particular cycle, you know, and of course, I just, no matter what the cycle is, whether it's a sun moving into Gemini or Jupiter moving or Pluto or whatever, you just want to have all these really positive thoughts like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen during this time and this wonderful energy? Well, some of the energy or some of the ideas that kept coming to me were things that I would consider not that positive, like resistance or arrogance. And I kept thinking, okay, why are these ideas coming to me? And quite honestly, I was resisting them. I was kind of trying to push them away and go, oh, I don't think so. I don't think resistance and arrogance and blah, blah, blah has anything to do with Jupiter. So why is that coming? But one of the things I have learned as a psychic, as an astrologer, as a tarot reader, and just kind of, you know, living life, is that, well, number one, what we resist persists. There's a reason that that word came to me. There are reasons that some of that kind of energy was starting to creep in there. And so, see, maybe that goes back to the retrograde. You know, you want to think of life always as moving forward, one step in front of the other. But you know what? It doesn't. More often than not, it's a dance. And in that dance, you're moving sideways, and sometimes you're moving backwards. Especially if you have a partner, you're going all different directions. And so then I said, okay, CA, just settle into this. There's a message here. And maybe there's a really good reason that we want to look at resistance during this particular cycle, or maybe it's just a message for me. But I want you to think about it, because here again, I, you know, like anybody else, I always want to go to the positive. I mean, I truly do. But when we look at Gemini, like the other, you know, the other signs that are dual or mutable, you know, Pisces and Virgo, and Sagittarius, they're always two sides, always. Now, the Gemini are the twins, but some of the things that they have in common is it's always a combination of mortality or being a mortal earth being and having a divine side. Those are the ideas that we're always grappling with when we look at those mutable signs. So here we have the twins. One is earthbound and one is in heaven, or one is divine. And that's our personalities too, right? There's always going to be a shadow side, or there's going to be an opposite. And so maybe that whole word resistance that just kind of kept coming to me had to do with what are the things that you keep thinking you're resisting when all you really need to do is look at them. Maybe you just need to incorporate them. Maybe you just need to accept them. You know, maybe being the twins is, it's not saying one's bad, one's good, but just being willing to look at the dance of the twins, loving each other, but trading places all the time. If you look at the mythology of them trading places. So, you know, there's a whole lot here that we can explore with Gemini, not only with the Sun and Venus being there, and soon Mercury will be there, I think the first week of June, but also with Jupiter through this year. Maybe some of the breakthroughs that we're really going to make, some of the expansion, some of the moving forward, some of the abundance, some of the richness of our lives may come by making breakthroughs. And those breakthroughs may come by looking at our resistance, or possibly some of the negative things, or some of the things that we classify as negative that we don't particularly want to look at. So, you know what? I'm trying not to resist. I'm just trying to let that energy just kind of sit there and figure out what it means. But going back to Charles Dickens, here's the quote that I ran across, and I thought, oh my gosh, if this isn't Gemini, it's so perfect. This is from The Tale of Two Cities, and it's those opening lines that many people hear because it's used a lot. And it goes like this: it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. I can't say that word, incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. And it was the winter of despair. Now, and actually the next few lines are also kind of the same thing, going with the opposites. They exist simultaneously. This is so Gemini in the sign of the twins, having two sides, looking at the opposites, things being two things at the same time, things moving from its opposite and back again, diversity, variability. And here's the other word that came to me, and this, you know, I would almost say this more psychic. The word kept coming, depth. D-E-P-T-H. And I thought that was interesting too, because I hope you've been listening to 1-2 Radio this week, because there's been some fabulous shows addressing Gemini. And specifically, I want to call out Kat, because on today's show, she was actually talking about depth with Gemini. And I'll tell you what, that's not usually something that you hear. And so, boy, my ears, you know, perked up. And I thought she and I often just kind of laugh because we're on the same page about things that we haven't talked about or, you know, that haven't occurred to us and all. Oh my gosh, she just was talking about the depth of Gemini. So see, once again, this is maybe a cycle of Jupiter and Gemini where we're not gonna talk about all the superficial things that we usually talk about with Jupiter, like, oh, we're gonna be abundant, we're gonna be rich, we're, you know, all these things are gonna happen. You know, we're gonna look a lot deeper this time. We're gonna look at something else that maybe is really important to us and just have maybe a more quality experience, because we're not being what some people call bliss ninnies. Have you heard that word? Some people use it. I heard it, I think, first in A Course in Miracles. But the idea that we want to sugarcoat everything. You know, in order to make it acceptable, we need to sugarcoat it, make it okay. Instead of just saying, you know what? Sometimes life sucks. Sometimes this isn't the happiest of events. And yes, I can use it. And yes, I will get past it and I will figure it out. But in the moment, it just kind of sucks, right? And so maybe that's part of what this Jupiter cycle is going to be about too, is just saying, you know what? We're not going to be bliss ninnies. So, and here again, already the indicators are there, especially with that full moon in Sagittarius, because here again, we're looking at contrast, not only in the Gemini twins, but the contrast between Sagittarius and Gemini, because Jupiter rules Sagittarius. And if you think about, both of them are storytellers. Both of them are about communication, about study, about learning, about sharing information. But they have some very specific differences too. And Sagittarius, with Jupiter as its ruler, is very much into wisdom, stringing the pieces of information together, not just collecting the information, which we often think of with Gemini. Collect, collect, you know, meet as many people as you can, have as many experiences as you can, but what do you do with the information? And in fact, I think about two different things, and here again, one of them, it comes to me a lot, it's The Sound of Music. The other one is a video that I'm going to tell you about that I saw last night. But I mentioned The Sound of Music because, do you remember that scene where Maria is teaching the kids notes? They're out like on a beautiful hillside and she's, you know, the do-re-mi song. Well, she teaches them the notes and one of the children says, but it doesn't mean anything. And to me, that is Gemini looking towards Sagittarius. That is Jupiter in Gemini saying, I'm going to bring meaning to these collections, to all these ideas. We are going to string them together. We are going to make meaning. And of course, what happens then, Maria teaches them how to replace the notes with just do, re, mi with words. And when you put it together as words, then you make a song. So she shows them how to string those ideas together. And I'll tell you, that idea comes to me a lot when I'm thinking about Gemini and when I'm thinking about Sagittarius, because it doesn't mean anything unless we start stringing things together. And see, of course, Sagittarians are the philosophers. Geminis are the communicators, the storytellers. They are the teachers, the learners, the public speakers, the writers, all of that. Sagittarius tends to be more of the teacher, even though Gemini is too. But they're the teacher because they're the philosopher. They string the pieces together to make it have meaning. So here's the other thing that happened. And this was last night. My brother showed me a video. And it was quite funny. But to me, it automatically had a lot more meaning. It was a video, he had pulled off somewhere. I don't even know exactly where. And whoever had posted it was making some comment about, I'm not going to say dementia, but it had to do with, people losing their focus, being distracted. But what it was somewhere, and I think it was in Europe somewhere, and they were training race dogs, training dogs to run around this track. And I can't remember, there were six or seven. And in the video, they let the, race dogs go, these greyhounds. And of course, and they may not have all been greyhounds, but what they do is they train them to chase a mechanical rabbit. You know, this little thing that is going around the track, and it just looks kind of like a little piece of white fluff, but it's mechanical running in front of them. And they train them to chase it. Well, what had happened is, they're on this outside track, and here are all these dogs all lined up, and the mechanical rabbit goes, and then the dogs all start chasing it. When an animal, and it looked to me like it was bigger than a rabbit, but some kind of animal runs horizontally across the track. So what do you think those dogs do? Every single one of them just changed direction and ran completely off the track. They just went under the fence and chased this animal into the nearby forest or underbrush or whatever. And it really is quite funny. But to me, the minute I saw it, I thought, oh my gosh, this has so much to do with what's going on right now. Now, of course, like I said, you look at it and go, yeah, that's what happens when you get distracted. But what I saw was somebody chasing this mechanical rabbit, and then they see the real thing. And whether it was a rabbit or an animal or whatever, and they realized there was something more meaningful to chase. And of course, every single one of them did it. It wasn't like one did and the others go, oh, what's he doing? They all chase it. They recognize something more meaningful than a mechanical rabbit. So when they saw a real animal run across the track, they didn't even think. They just chased it. And it was pretty funny. And I hope they got their dogs back. I'm sure they did. But it was kind of funny because those dogs who had been trained to run around that track, they were just off and running and doing what was natural to them. But like I said, what it really meant to me is when we see something that's more meaningful, when we go, aha, I'm chasing the mechanical rabbit when I could be chasing something real, we do get distracted. But we also, without even thinking about it, we change our minds because it's something more meaningful. Now, you may listen to that story and you may get something completely different out of it. But like I said, my brother showed it to me last night and I thought, oh my God, that is so perfect for Gemini and Sagittarius and, the Jupiter thing. But also, as I was talking about resistance or arrogance, I'm going to bring that up again, because quite honestly, you don't think of the word arrogance, and I wish maybe I could think of a better one, but you don't think of that so much with Sagittarius. But the reason it comes up is because Sagittarius very much is the seeker of truth. But what happens when you think you found the truth? You can become the philosopher, the wise one, the priest, the shaman, but you can also become the know-it-all. And so with all of the signs, as they morph from their more positive qualities into the negative ones or into the shadow, that's what we see. Like we see that with Aquarius as well. But we see it with Sagittarius because it's like, well, I studied all this, I know all the facts, and this is how it comes out. This is how it works. But how many times have you seen people who have the same information and they come up with two different conclusions? Right? And so with Sagittarius and with Gemini, part of I think the intrigue or part of the positive is to always keep learning and to never get so stuck in the rut, especially Sagittarius, getting so stuck in, I have all the answers. I know what it is, and I'm not looking any further. Or rather, now it's my job to tell everybody the way the world works. Now, I know it's difficult not to go there. Because of course, once you've studied or you've become that student who now is a teacher, you're the healer, you're out there sharing the information. It's hard not it's hard to remember, maybe I don't have all the information. The old Dennis the Menace quote that I love too about Gemini is, when he's always asking Mr. Wilson all the questions, what about this? What about this? What about this? And Mr. Wilson says, why do you ask so many questions? And he says, well, I'm only six. I don't know very much stuff yet. Well, see, that's the youthfulness. That's the pricelessness of Gemini. I don't know that much stuff yet. There's so much to know. And so with Jupiter, who naturally is affiliated with the Sagittarius, that's what we need to do. We need to keep that youthful spirit. And maybe that's why arrogance was a word that was coming to me also, because maybe it is getting off the high horse, no pun intended. But getting away from that kind of energy and just saying, in what ways have I decided that I'm superior to other people? I'm better than other people. I know better than you. Now, you know what? Sometimes we do have to just fight that, depending on the planets in our chart, and I'm not blaming them, but we have that natural affinity for putting our self-identity or self-confidence in some of those things. Well, I'm good at collecting all this information, or I'm good at doing blah, blah, blah. But this is an opportunity to regain that youthful, I don't know very much stuff yet, feeling of Gemini and being willing to be the student, being willing to have all the experiences. And challenge those areas of our lives where maybe we are resisting something, or we have become controlling or domineering, because that can be kind of the excess of Gemini. Also just that idea, well, I studied this, I know all this, without recognizing you probably don't know everything, right? Because even little kids can get that way, right? They know a few things, so they think they know everything. And, I think that is an important idea because, I mean, and I find myself doing that. I mean, every once in a while, I'm really hesitant to talk about something because I go, oh, I don't know nearly enough about this. There've got to be a whole bunch of experts out there who know this. Well, that's probably a good thing on one level. But it can also be hazardous if I always say, well, I don't know enough yet, so I better not share. I better not talk about this. Because maybe even my talking about it intrigues somebody, or maybe somebody says, well, I happen to be a real expert on Dickens, or I happen to be a real expert on Gemini, or whatever the topic is. That's okay. But just trying to keep that balance and recognizing that there's always going to be an inflow of information. And there needs to be an outflow as well, which is about the Gemini being a messenger, being a public speaker and a writer, a bookseller, a storyteller, a collector, letting the energy flow through you. And so, and here again, like I said, there's so much to talk about here, but we're going to touch upon a few more things. But part of that is maybe this is about finding your own message or finding your own flow. And we'll probably talk about this more, maybe even the next time Mo comes on. But in Tarot, Gemini is the Lovers card. Now, that always intrigued me because at first I'm like, why is that not the Libra card? But it's the Gemini card, and I think because we sometimes, all the cards have so much more depth than we realize oftentimes. I mean, we can just spend our whole lives studying the Tarot. Well, the Lovers is very much about finding your inner twin, finding your soulmate, and understanding the various aspects of yourself And then understanding how you attract or don't attract other people, resources, jobs, homes, cars, whatever it is, how you do or do not do that based on your understanding of who you are and the various aspects of yourself. So there again, we could explore the lovers in one of our shows, but the Geminis are the lovers. But I also think, especially for the purposes of what we're talking about today, the magician kind of kept popping into my mind. And it's because the magician has all the tools. But the magician can also get into that shadow side of being manipulating, controlling the story, withholding some of the ideas of the story to convince somebody of something. So see, these are all things that we're going to experience or think about or talk about during this particular cycle. Because there again, Jupiter in Gemini, I want to control the story. Well, how do I control the story? By deciding which facts are the most important. In fact, today, I mean, you know how I am. I come up with way too many notes. And there's only so many things that I can say. So what am I doing? I'm being very Gemini. I'm editing. What can we talk about today? Can this be talked about later? Can this be saved, etc.? And by the way, I also want to throw this out because I know on Mark's show, he was talking about, you know, as people identify with the Gemini energy, you may be sitting there going, I don't have any Gemini planets, which I do not either. I do not have a single Gemini planet in my chart. However, I've got two planets, including my sun, sitting in the third house of my chart. The third house is ruled by Mercury, and it's the Gemini house. Naturally, it's what we call the Gemini house. So no, I don't have Gemini planets, but I do have planets sitting in a Gemini area of my chart. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I often think if somebody would guess, they go, oh, well, she's a speaker, she's a writer, she's a teacher. And you know, from the time I was a kid, like in first grade, I remember my teacher saying, you know, Cynthia, stand up and read this for the class. And I didn't want to. I was so shy. I just like, oh my God, I just wanted to die on the spot. Teachers were always doing that to me. And it was a kind of this vein of my existence. It's like, pretend you don't know how to read or pretend that you don't know how to speak because, you know, they're always going to ask you to do this. And I just didn't want to stand up in front of the class. But what I recognize is it was just a natural gift. I had the voice, I had the projection, and I love to read. So they always wanted me to read something out loud or they wanted me to recite something. Well, if you look at the chart and you go, she doesn't have a single Gemini planet. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from probably, or we could relate it back on an astrology level, to planets sitting in the third house. So they naturally, they're kind of honorary Gemini planets. And it is true that I often think I don't come up with ideas, but I'm a great collector. You know, you want somebody to research something or study something or collect all the information or collate it together. In fact, I think I'm a clearinghouse. You know, I can tell you what a lot of different astrologers say about something, or I can put a lot of information together and kind of edit it down and tell you what I think the most important pieces are. But I'm not necessarily the person that comes up with the ideas. That's why you hear me quote so often. You know, I borrow from the best. You know, I read the other astrologers, or I read, you know, some of the, you know, the Charles Dickens or whoever it is. I read their stuff and I recognize goodness or I recognize genius when I see it. But it doesn't mean I come up with the clever ideas. So I think about Gemini that way too, because I think Gemini has a gift for, and some of them are brilliant. I'm not saying they aren't, but you know, there is that aspect of being able to collect all the information and then do something with it, because I have a Sag rising also, which is kind of interesting. So yeah, I love to collect information. I love to come up with those quotes and talk about them. So, you know, that's a piece of it too. So if you're looking or you were listening to Mark and go, oh, I don't have any Gemini planets, or I don't have Mercury next to my sun or any of the things. Well, that was one thing. Now, maybe he talked about that too. I might have missed it. But yeah, there's lots of ways that you kind of have honorary Gemini energy. And one of them is, like, is Mercury really important in your chart? Is it sitting next to your sun? Is it sitting next to some other planets? Is it sitting in a really prominent position, like maybe at the very top of your chart? You know, there's lots of ways you can be an honorary Gemini. But even if you're not an honorary Gemini, you know, this is a cycle that we're all going to experience, and it's going to be fun. It truly is. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to do is I did want to talk about Dickens a little bit more, because if you just, once again, it's kind of taking a case study. And I could do this with any number of people that I looked up this week. But if you look at Dickens, how does he really demonstrate Jupiter in Gemini? And also think about this. No matter who you look at, they're going to have a lot of other things. So we're not talking about the sun. We're not talking about Venus or Mercury or anything else. I'm isolating his particular Jupiter in Gemini. But as Jupiter is the way that we kind of expand ourselves, push ourselves out into the world, how are we lucky? Then, you know, you see how he used that energy. Now, some of the other things that went on in his life, you know, you could look at that and go, oh, that was Venus, or that was Mars, or that was the sun doing that. So I'm just going to isolate a few things that I think were particularly very Jupiter in Gemini. So if the one thing is you look at his life and career and you study it, you look at how often so many of the good things that happened to him had to do with communication. That's Gemini's forte, right? And unlike many authors before him or at the same time as him, you know how often we hear that somebody died penniless, an artist or a writer or whatever, because nobody appreciated their works while they were alive. That wasn't true of Dickens. He had become very popular in his lifetime. And his work also appealed to a vast and diverse audience. Now, that's important, too, because it's Gemini. You know, it's sort of like there were lots of people. You know, the way he wrote, you know, lots of people read him and liked him. He was popular across the board with lots of groups of people because he somehow appealed to them. And of course, he was also a messenger in terms of he was trying to draw attention to social issues at the time. So see, you better believe that some people, the royalty, were probably interested in what he was saying, or, you know, the upper class, or, you know, and especially if he was trying to make some comment about that. And the lower classes, the common people, you know, they were all interested in what he had to say, but maybe for a variety of reasons. So see, he had a message, you know, he was definitely a messenger. But the other thing is he did very Jupiter in Gemini type jobs. And that's the other thing I really want to impress upon you. So I know we'll talk about it again. One of the things that I think is going to happen during this cycle is a lot of diversity. So, and I hear that a lot as I talk to people. Maybe you were trained as a nurse and you're saying, but you know what? I don't want to work in a hospital anymore. I don't want to work in a clinic. Maybe I don't even want to work in a doctor's office. How can I diversify? And, you know, I thought a lot about that because I feel like I hear that a lot, and I think we're going to hear about it a lot more. It's not the same as 20, 30, 50 years ago when people trained in a job and that meant pretty much one or two different applications. Now it can mean a whole series of things. So that nurse that trained, now maybe she is a teacher. Maybe she teaches at a school. Maybe she teaches new nurses that are coming up in the field. Maybe she also writes books. Maybe she's a podcaster. Maybe she gets an alternative, you know, care. There are all kinds of ways that she takes that knowledge, skills, and abilities, but applies them in new ways or applies them in similar fields, but not in identical positions. I mean, in fact, I was thinking about this too with the advisors of One to Listen. Here you have people that many of them for years and years, they worked in a particular discipline, like they were a reader, they were a channeler, they were a medium, they were an astrologer. And now from being that in-person, you know, doing sessions with people, they become, now they're on telephone. So that's one diversification. Now they're doing radio shows. How many of us have radio shows on 1-2 Radio? Or maybe we're podcasters. Maybe we write books. Maybe we have a YouTube channel. Maybe we do, you know, private classes or not public private classes at bookstores. Or maybe we do it through organizations. Maybe, you know, I'm trying to think now what they call it. You do it through Zoom, but there's all those meetup. I think they're called meetup groups. But my point is this: I think for all of us, we're going to find that there's a lot more diversity in our jobs, and it has less to do maybe with our traditional training and experience, because now there's all kinds of applications for it. And even if you look at Dickens, there again, he was a clerk in a solicitor's office. So there again, he learned a lot of law because of that. And then he was a court reporter. And then later he was a newspaper reporter. And then he, I think, was even an editor at a magazine. But then he starts writing all these essays and these stories and these books and social commentaries. He wrote plays. So he took all these different knowledge, skills, and abilities, and he incorporated them together. He diversified. So I think that is a takeaway for us, is how do we diversify? How do we use, you know, don't get stuck in thinking this is the only way you can use this particular talent. Because in fact, even going back to the nurse or going back to anybody, maybe you even become a computer programmer because you know exactly the language that, you know, you write some, you know, maybe computers weren't your skill, but you write an application, you know, you write, you know, whatever. And at first you go, oh, how did you get into that? Well, because you had a specific knowledge, skill, or ability, and you diversified. So I think that's what we're going to find. And I do think with Charles Dickens, that probably was part of his success with Jupiter and Gemini, is being able to take those talents for information, for being a messenger, and apply them in all different ways. And so we can too. And I think for you personally, as you look at your life and you look at what's going on for you, you may find there's different outlets for your talents. And, you know, every once in a while I will talk to somebody, and it is kind of interesting because, you know, they have a particular training, but they can't find a job in that field. And I go, well, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? Like, oh, no, that's not how you do it. And I go, well, maybe it is. Maybe that is how you take that information. You know, you have to imagine a little bit more. You have to expand with Jupiter in a new direction. I think we're really going to see that in the next year. So if you're one of those people, you want to expand the application of your talents and abilities, absolutely, that's what's going to happen for you. So as we look at this, we really only have time to talk about a few more things, but I'd say there is a lesson for all of us in not only Charles Dickens' life, but in just this thing. Remember, the twins need variety. They thrive when they're learning and exchanging new information. They like to have more than one job or profession. And they also sometimes like more than one house, more than one car, more than one partner. I mean, remember, they like to have diversity. So here again, we're not talking so much about Venus, but Venus and Gemini, you know, it's when that happens, we really want to give, you know, a free rein to our relationships or to lots of things, because we want to try some new things out. You know, we don't want to be bored. We don't want it to be the same routine every single day. We want something to be different. We want to wear multiple hats. That's the other thing, going back to profession, is that maybe you do have one job and it primarily is one thing, but maybe you wear lots of different hats. You know, maybe you are a manager as part of your job, and maybe you work on a board as another part of your job. You know, there's different ways to take that job and wear multiple hats. So maybe that's what happens. So diversify. Think about that. Think about how you can vary things in your life, how you can diversify, how you can take that energy and move it in different directions, because we really want to do that. Okay, a couple more things, and like I said, I'm going to save these notes. We'll go through some of them again, but also this is a time of lots of social connection and interaction, but it's also a time, and we could devote a whole show to this, of multitasking. And when I say devote a show, I always have this kind of love-hate relationship with that word, because I think whenever we're multitasking, we're sort of giving short, we're shortchanging something in our life. We're saying that's not as important, so I'm not going to pay as much attention to it. So I think it's something that we can really look at in our life, because here again, with if you look at a downside of Gemini brilliance, which it really is brilliant, it's that busyness, going to extremes, and the chronic changeability, always looking, searching, 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 always moving, 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 and spinning. And so that's the other thing. I'll jump right in here, and I thought we'd save some of the health thing for for another show. But just that idea that we can kind of run ourselves ragged with Jupiter and Gemini. And so when we do that, we really do need to adapt or to adopt some ways of de-stressing during this period, and not just allowing ourselves to be pulled in so many directions that we're just going a little crazy, right? So, if nothing else, this is an air sign. Learn to breathe, okay? Now, like I said, I have a whole lot more to say, but we'll save it for another show. And also, if a lot of this information or some of these ideas anyway are in Mark's Power Peak, because I write an article, another thing I do, write an article for Mark's Power Peak. That is a free newsletter that's available. I sometimes call it a blog, whatever you want to call it. You can subscribe at 12listen.com. It's free. It comes to your email box every week. There's a number of articles, so there again, diversify. If that's not something you already read, or maybe you're new to the show today, and if you are, welcome. Thanks for joining me today. That's something you might want to check out, because there's lots of good information, and it's not all astrology. There's lots of just good old-fashioned common sense by a number of writers. So that might be something that you want to add to your kind of portfolio there, is reading that every week and just checking out what's going on. But there again, if you go, hey, I missed something, and maybe this was in the Power Peak, then go over there and check out my article in Mark's Power Peak. And everybody, thank you so much for joining me today. This is going to be a very, very exciting week. And that Jupiter does move into Gemini on Saturday. But I'd also point out a couple of other interesting things. Venus, which will be in Gemini by Saturday, is going to trine Pluto on Saturday. And I say that because whenever you get a trine between Venus and Pluto, it tends to be very significant. So that could be a day that you meet somebody really extraordinary in your life, because of course, Venus has to do with love and relationships, but it's also about money, or it's also just about attracting exactly what you need in your life. So definitely check out Saturday, because there's some really wonderful energy that day with Venus trine Pluto. I always look forward to that and seeing how that will manifest. So that's a red letter day on our calendar this week. All right. Well, thank you very much. I will be back next Tuesday. We'll probably be talking about Gemini a little bit more, getting into a little bit more detail. But also, you can find me on 12listen.com if you want a personal consultation. We can talk about all this Gemini energy in your chart, or possibly what Jupiter and Gemini will bring for you. I do work, even though I am just online, I like to work by appointment, just simply so that I can make sure that we can really connect on a day and a time that's good for you. So if you don't see me as available, please just send me a message through the Click for Advisor, the 12listen system. Just send me a message and tell me when you'd like to connect, or you can request a scheduled call, and then I will do my very best to be available to you. So thanks very much, and I hope to talk to you soon. Thanks for joining me. Everybody, thanks. And thanks to Jay Varvel, who is our producer today. And I would encourage you to stay tuned, because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we're thinking about Jupiter.